Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
If you haven't been affected by the government shutdown, if you have a plane ticket for the next several days or even a week or 2 weeks away, you're paying attention now, especially after the FAA is dialing back flights. 10% capacity reduction at 40 of the nation's busiest airports. And yes, MSP is on the list. You're thinking about it now. Let's bring into the conversation Sean Cudahy from the Points Guy. He joins us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Sean, thank you so much for the time. How soon will we know if, as we can expect flights to start being canceled tomorrow, how soon will people know if they fly tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, whether their flight is affected?
Well, I'm only just starting to see some cancellations roll in for tomorrow, about 105 so far off the country, across the country for Friday. You know, airlines are saying that they're going to try to give travelers as much advance notice as possible. But, you know, with how quickly the turnaround was, really 36 hours from when the FAA announced these cuts to when they have to start on Friday morning, you know, the next couple days here, it's going to be pretty short notice for travelers.
Is there certain patterns to where these cancellations will happen? Are there certain routes that will be affected more than others, or do we know any of that? What can we expect there?
Yeah, so far not a whole lot of specifics from airlines or the FAA. The one consistent theme that I'm hearing from some of the biggest carriers like Delta, American, United, Delta obviously with a huge hub at MSP, is that they seem to be leaving long-haul international flights alone. So those big twin-aisle jets that hold hundreds of passengers, airlines don't want to touch those flights. I mean, that's a ton of passengers that they have to rebook. I would imagine, if I were guessing, and we don't want to get too much into the speculation game, that we will see a few more of those regional flights. So think, you know, those smaller regional jets, American Eagle, United Express, Delta Connection. I think you'll probably see some of those get canceled at a higher rate than some of the larger planes, just because you're talking about the law of numbers. There are fewer passengers on those planes.
Is this pretty much evenly split amongst the airlines? Are some airlines are going to be affected more than others?
Yeah, what the FAA has said is that they're going to try to make it as proportional, as fair as possible. Now, of course, you know, you're in Minneapolis, there's a 10% you know, reduction in flights. You know, you can certainly expect that Delta is going to see the lion's share of those because Delta has the most flights out of MSP. But, you know, across the country, they're going to try to make it as you know, as fair as possible relative to the number of flights airlines have. But as the FAA administrator said last night, there's not going to be a perfect solution.
The reason for this, Sean Duffy says that this has just been too much of a strain on air traffic controllers, on TSA agents. How, you know, we're over a month into this thing. How much has that strain been felt prior to a grand announcement like this that flights are being canceled? Where have we seen it the most?
Yeah, you know, there's kind of two sides to this. You know, on one hand, for the first half of October, as the shutdown got underway, we didn't see too much in the way of impacts. And that kind of tracks with what we saw a few years ago in the last big shutdown. The impacts kind of grow over weeks as air traffic controllers go weeks without a paycheck. On the flip side, you know, this is an industry, the air traffic control industry, that is severely understaffed already. I mean, most controllers, many of them at least, work regularly 6-day weeks, 10-hour days, mandatory overtime, weeks on end, months on end. You know, it's really kind of just come to, you know, just sort of an inflection point, I think, in the last week or so.
For people who, you know, a week out or Thanksgiving, obviously we obviously know the how busy the Thanksgiving time is for air travel. Is there anything proactively that somebody who has a flight scheduled can do right now that makes any sense?
Yeah, I think your best bet at the moment, if you're traveling in a couple of days, I would just be watching to see what happens, stay in close contact with the airline. As we look into, you know, out into Thanksgiving, you know, if you're already booked for Thanksgiving, I think, you know, it really kind of depends on how this shutdown goes. I mean, does it end tomorrow? Does it end a week from now? Or does this stretch way into Thanksgiving? If it's still going on, I think you could see mass disruptions over what is expected to be the biggest Thanksgiving travel rush in history, or was at least. And you know, I think that kind of remains to be seen how that's all going to play out. But, you know, in the meantime, next day or two, definitely just keep a close eye on your email, on your mobile app for the airline, see what type of communications roll in. And, you know, if the longer the shutdown goes, I think you'll see more and more airlines kind of extend flexible travel policies that should allow travelers to kind of rebook their trip, postpone it, or, you know, cancel it and get a refund.
Talking to Sean Cudahy, the points guy, that was going to be my next question. How different is this, if at all, from like a weather situation or a computer glitch in how airlines will handle fees when it comes to changes, when it comes to rebookings, things like that?
Yeah, so I think more similar to a weather situation than a computer glitch. When it's a computer glitch on the part of the airline, generally you're talking about something that's kind of the airline's fault, and they'll pay for a lot of things like a hotel night if you get stranded somewhere. On the other hand, you know, weather, a lot of the time, you know, it's kind of up to the airlines to see how flexible they'll be. You'll see them kind of issue these waivers that can let travelers rebook, you know, get onto a later flight. And also remember that under federal refund rules, if your flight is canceled or significantly delayed, and you don't want to take the rebooking option, you just want to stay home or take a different mode of transportation, you are entitled to a refund, no questions asked.
Going back to one of your earlier points about, you know, the overseas travels, the flights that are going overseas, those that the airlines really want to protect those from being canceled. So somebody who's got, we just got a text from somebody, you know, I was worried about my flight to Paris a month ago, and now it's 9 days away. People who are taking those international flights, I know you can't guarantee that they're going to be there, but that they can feel confident that airlines will still try to make those happen.
Yeah, I think, you know, time, we're gonna find out for sure here in the next day or two. But that is what I'm hearing broadly, is that if you're flying to, you know, to Paris or London, and you're on one of these big flights, I think it's a pretty safe bet that the airline's going to leave that intact. It's just such a nightmare for the airline to try to reschedule those passengers. You're talking about large planes that hold hundreds of passengers. I would be a little bit more concerned if I were flying on a, you know, a 90-seat regional jet.
Right. So, like, even if you have to make a connection, I wonder if some people might start looking at other options to get to that connection point.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's going to be part of the conversation here. And, you know, that's a good point. You know, if you're thinking about booking a flight here for the next couple of weeks, I would definitely err on the side of a nonstop flight if it's an option, even if it's a little bit more money. You know, if you think about it, if you're taking a two-leg trip, you have one leg, then you connect and get on another flight, that's basically doubling your chances of having your flight canceled. So nonstop, and if you can't do nonstop, I think, you know, we're still likely to see some flight delays as well as these cancellations. I would be building in as much time to those layovers as possible. Better to spend a couple hours sitting in an airport lounge or at a restaurant than missing a connection because of a, you know, a 50-minute delay.
Sean, can you remember a situation like this where we had the FAA making such drastic moves to cut flights for whatever reason?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to think of a situation that's exactly like that. Now, of course, this century we've seen a couple different, you know, kind of unprecedented situations. You know, we had obviously airlines scaled back kind of on their own, you know, air travel at the COVID-19 pandemic, yep. Very different situation there. And then really you have to go back to the kind of the wake of the September 11th, 2001 terrorist attacks to I think see, you know, the last time we saw such kind of, you know, sweeping cutbacks kind of ordered across the airspace.
Lastly, Sean, and again, thank you for the time. Just your number one bit of advice for people listening right now who are flying in the near future. What is the best thing that they should know right now?
Just make sure your contact information is on file with the airline. It probably is if you booked your flight online. Make sure they have your email and just keep an eye out for any communications from your airline, because they may offer you the chance to cancel, to rebook, to take a different flight, or maybe you'll get the all clear. So just keep a close eye on things. It is a very fluid situation. Things, you know, look different hour by hour at this point.
I'm going to ask you one more, and you can choose to answer it or not, but some people, you know, politics comes into everything. So I think a lot of people are wondering, is this truly the case? Is this a safety measure just because these workers are spread so thin, or are the traveling public now being used as a pawn in a government shutdown fight? What does your gut tell you?
You know, I think I defer to the political experts on that one. All I can say is, watching it from the aviation side of things, it definitely is going to be, you know, a major impact, to travelers over the next couple of weeks.
Totally.
Or, you know, hopefully it won't last that long.
Totally get it. Sean, thank you so much for the time as always, sir. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
Sean Cuddy, the points guy. 117, we'll react to what Sean had to say. And it's hard for me. Again, safety is of the utmost importance when it comes to air travel. And these people have been working long, long hours, not getting paid. And I'm not suggesting that we do anything to jeopardize the air traveling public. But boy, you wonder in this day and age whether, I mean, so many parts of our life we get used as political pawns. And it's hard to believe that this isn't another one of those situations.
Both can be true.
Correct.
Obviously, both can be true, but it's, I think, impossible to believe that this is not at least in some way being used as, you know, the political football, as we say,
right?
Because the American public, the flying public, being mm-hmm. used as pawns to try to get one side to move.
Yep. You can react to that if you think we're crazy and that this is strictly on the up and up, that this is merely a safety issue. You can react. 651-461-9226.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in. The debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Sax in this, good sax in this one.
Yeah, you can hear it back there.
Yeah.
Well, Modern Love, great song.
We're bumper music today, songs with great saxophone. Because the inventor of the saxophone, born on this day in 1814, I believe.
Nice memory.
Said.
1814 in Belgium.
Yep.
Adolf Sax.
Adolf Sax.
Just happened to be that his name and saxophone.
What a break. How lucky was
great
that?
Great coincidence.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, great
the
coincidence.
The world is a better place because of it.
Like if it, the guy's name is, I don't know, Jones?
The
Jones-a-phone?
Doesn't work out
so
well.
No. I mean, great sax. I mean, it works. Mm-hmm. It works. So, talking about the decision by the FAA to scale back flights again tomorrow, our thanks to Sean Cudahy talking about how starting tomorrow morning, airlines will begin cancellations. By the way, he said if you missed the first part of the interview, and by the way, we suggest that you subscribe to the Chad Hartman podcast and the Adam and Jordana podcast while you're at it. So if you missed the first part of Sean's interview, you can go back and listen. Mm-hmm.
Wonder where you could find those. Maybe Spotify.
Spotify, Apple. Yeah.
Couple good places.
Sure.
Odyssey app if you care to take your
wherever you get
digital
your
life in your hands.
Yeah. Wherever you get your podcast, check it out. But he was saying that some of those cancellations have already started. So if you're flying tomorrow, probably want to check right now to see if you're unfortunate enough to be one of those people who had your flight canceled. I'm not suggesting that people who are flying, even ones who are flying for an emergency situation or have to get somewhere, are the same as like people losing their SNAP benefits. You know, flying is a privilege. It is. It's not a guaranteed right. But if you are to try to shake up this country to try to put pressure on people to end the shutdown, inconveniences like my flight being canceled are a sure way to do that. Now, is that the main impetus behind Sean Duffy saying that we're cutting back all these flights? As opposed to, no, we have TSA workers and we have air traffic controllers who have been working long, long hours, not getting paid, or dealing with staff shortages that puts the flying public in danger. That also is, David pointed out before the break, both can be certainly true. And I don't believe for a second that FAA workers, whether they're TSA or air traffic controllers, would willingly put people in danger. I refuse to believe that, and I don't think that any circumstance should lead you to believe that. And I want to believe the administration saying that this is part of this plan to eliminate these flights or drop down the traffic because we just don't have the staffing right now to continue. But boy, this is one of those areas where with no movement, apparently to end the government shutdown, this certainly would be an avenue, I think, for people to say, okay, people getting irritated and saying, do something, and not really blaming particularly one side at this point, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you start at, well, we're talking about 10% at 40 different airports, big airports, mm-hmm. obviously MSP being on yep. that list. You know, what happens in 3 weeks when it's Thanksgiving time?
Exactly.
And everybody, as Sean said, had been expected to be the busiest travel Thanksgiving in the history of Thanksgiving mm-hmm. since the Pilgrims. Not a lot of flights, Pilgrim.
No,
they weren't getting on the plates. It must have been a shutdown then, too. But I mean, what happens then? Then people obviously are going to be up in arms. What if it gets worse? What if we get to 20%, 30%, 40%?
Right.
You know, and what if it starts impacting things we love besides just traveling? For instance, maybe the major sports leagues that rely on flights. And if the FAA just says, look, we
the Vikings can't get to Green Bay.
We can't manage a cross-country flight. Right. The 49ers going to play Dolphins.
Then
or
you'd see
like
something
that.
Happen.
I mean, seriously, it could happen.
People need food. The hell with that. I don't care about that. But if I can't see my football game because my team can't get to that city.
I got money on this game. I got to make up for last week's losses.
It's so sad, but it's so true.
Yeah, college football, same thing. Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely within the possibilities.
As far as I'm concerned, the shutdown is entirely political, and I will refuse to vote for any incumbent going forward. Okay? The government shutdown is totally shameful. Shameful behavior. Blue and red are ruining people's lives. Yeah, I mean, you can look at Tuesday's election and the success of the Democrats and say, well, people are blaming Republicans more. I don't know about that. I think this is an equal opportunity offender. There's so much more than people going. That's it, too. There's a hell of a lot more than people going on the planes. When Trump gets a call from the head of Amazon, UPS, FedEx, it'll turn around real quick. Well, we'll see. Duffy is doing all he can to bolster Trump policies. The FAA administrator right now is in a window dressing. None of these employees would jeopardize the traveling public, and I agree with that. I don't think that they would, but knowingly doing so and just not doing your job effectively because you've been working so much are two totally different topics. You can say, no, I'm fine to do this, but at a certain point, you're not because you've been working so long. Interesting. Well, we will move on because we've got a topic also related to travel, something that happened 50 years ago. Again, if you have not heard, the Edmund Fitzgerald and 729-foot iron ore carrier sank on Lake Superior on November 10th of 1975.
Oh, no.
Nearly 50 years ago. 29 men aboard. None survived. Wasn't no mayday call. It's the great mystery of it is one of the reasons. Now, the number one reason it's so popular and it's not close is because of the song, Gordon Lightfoot's song. But it's a mystery. The fact that nobody survived, there was no mayday call. We are left to speculate what happened to the Edmund Fitzgerald on November 10th, 1975. It really has captured the imagination of a lot of folks, including myself, and our next guest, who is a reporter. He actually is an arts and entertainment reporter for the Duluth News Tribune, but he has waded into this effort to find answers, to look back at this great mystery of the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald. He's got a new podcast, 50 Years Under, the Edmund Fitzgerald. Jay Gabler from the Duluth News Tribune will join us after traffic and weather next on CCO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in. The debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
That is a clip from a new podcast, Edmund Fitzgerald, 50 Years Below. As you know, Monday is the 50th. 50 years, I hate saying anniversary, but 50 years since Edmund Fitzgerald sank on Lake Superior. And the man behind that podcast joins us now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, Jay Gabler of the Duluth News Tribune, host of this new podcast. Jay, thank you so much for the time today. I sure appreciate it. Your motivation for doing this work, and you've put a year of your life into this, are you like me, somebody who is fascinated by this story, or was this something relatively new for you?
A little bit of both. My dad is a huge Gordon Lightfoot fan, so I grew up hearing the song along with many other of Gord's Gold classics, and I always knew it was a real shipwreck, which a lot of people actually don't know. They hear the song and they think it's a fictional story. But when I moved back to Duluth in 2022 to take this job with the Duluth News Tribune, I sort of gained a new understanding for how fascinated people are with this story. People who work at the Lake Superior Maritime Visitor Center here in Duluth say that guests will walk in and they'll just start playing the song on their phone. They just have to hear it. They're so captivated by the story. And yet people know what's in the song. They might not even have caught all the details in the song and don't know much more. So I saw there being an opportunity to give people an accessible way to just dive a little bit deeper into this harrowing true story.
What story did you feel that hadn't been told, or at least hadn't been told well about it, that you think your podcast really sheds light on?
Well, I mean, first of all, just what happened that night on November 10th. Obviously, that's been told many times in books and documentaries and what have you. But I thought this is a way to sort of give people the best, you know, concise understanding of what happened, what we know, what we'll never know. But more broadly, I wanted to educate people about Great Lakes shipping, about what the Edmund Fitzgerald was doing out there. You know, one listener I talked to said she hadn't even realized that the Edmund Fitzgerald was carrying taconite from Minnesota's Iron Range. So I wanted to let people know what these ships do, how they work, what they're like inside, what the crew does to keep them afloat. And then once you have all that information, you understand a little bit more what could have gone wrong to bring this ship down on the night of November 10th, 1975. But then also, hopefully, you understand more about the broader story of Great Lakes maritime activity.
Yeah, the song is one thing, and song is clearly the top reason why so many people, I think, are drawn to it. But it's the mystery of it, too, the fact that there was no distress call. The ship basically vanished, even though the captain had reported some problems, is that mystery. And the funny thing is that people are so like confident in what they feel happened to the ship. Did you run into that with a lot of the people you interviewed and talked to about this?
The people I interviewed, I was either lucky or good in picking them because none of my interview subjects expressed too much, a sort of inappropriate amount of confidence in what happened. They acknowledged that there is that mystery. And in the reality, it was probably a combination of things that happened. Water was getting into the ship somehow, probably from multiple different points. The great debate, you know, was there shoaling? Did it hit a 6-fathom shoal and sort of spring a leak? Or was there structural damage beneath the water's surface? You know, we can never know that. Certainly I talked to people who share, strong ideas one way or the other, but everybody acknowledged that 50 years on, after all these visits down to the wreck, after all the research that's been done, after all the models that have been run, ultimately we really can never know exactly what happened.
With the most like surprising thing that you've found in the people you talked to in your research for doing this project, what was that?
Well, there's a lot that surprised me because I had a lot to learn about this story, and I hope that my interest and curiosity in this subject comes through in the podcast. But one really poignant observation that was made by one of the people I talked to, author John U. Bacon, who's the author of a fantastic brand new book called The Gales of November. And he pointed out that if you think about it, Captain McSorley, the captain of the Edmund Fitzgerald that night, made a decision that was uncharacteristic for him because it was conservative. He was known as a hard-charging guy who, set many records for speed and tonnage. And so its captains weren't generally conservative, but that night, with a storm brewing, Captain McSorley decided to take the safer route. Rather than going as directly as possible across the south of Lake Superior, which would be the fastest way to get from Superior, Wisconsin, the Twin Ports here, over to the Sioux Locks, the boat took a more northerly route, which is more sheltered, a little bit longer, and that did help shelter it from some of the weather, but it kept it out there for longer. And based on what we now know about the precise timing of that storm and how the Fitzgerald really was in the worst possible place at the worst possible time, it might well have been that if McSorley had just gone for it and raced across the southern part of the lake, as was more typically his route, they might have made the safety of Whitefish Bay before the worst of the storm hit.
And a lot of people don't know. They think, okay, Edmund Fitzgerald probably was an old ship. I mean, this still was a very, very well-run ship, still a popular ship, still a very efficient freighter on the Great Lakes. So this wasn't like some old beat-up ship, right?
No, that's right. It was, 17 years old at the time of its sinking, which made it relatively new by Laker standards. The ship that was basically next to Edmund Fitzgerald on its journey across the lake, the Arthur M. Anderson, is still afloat, was coming through Duluth as recently as this past winter. So ships can be out there for a very long time. So 17 years is young in that from that perspective. But at the same time, it was being eclipsed by the 1,000-footers that had started to come out in the early 1970s. So showing its age a bit, but certainly by no means an old ship by Laker standards.
What is it about this story that intrigues? Obviously, it's the geographically, we in the Great Lakes area are drawn to it. But what else is it about it, apart from the song, the mystery, and this part of the country? What is it about this story, why so many people are drawn to it?
I think the more you learn about the story, the more interested you become. It's not the kind of story where you spend an hour with it and then you think, okay, well, now I've learned what there is to learn and now I'm done. Every sort of step you take towards understanding more about what happened to the Edmund Fitzgerald makes the story more fascinating. You first ask, what happened? Well, to answer that question, you need to explain what it was doing, what the timing was, what we knew about the weather forecasting, who the crew members were, what their jobs were, the positions of the other boats. And as you learn more and more information, it just inspires you to have more questions. You're like, okay, well, if those other boats were out there, why didn't they do as poorly as the Edmund Fitzgerald? And if Whitefish Bay was so close, why didn't they make it? And wait a second, you say that water might have come in through the ballast tanks? How do those work? Where are those located? And so it just keeps pulling you further in, and you really kind of never, so to speak, get to the bottom of it. I'm sorry if that's an ill-chosen metaphor, but the more you learn, the more you want to know about this wreck, which is what I think fascinates people for a lifetime.
We're talking to Jay Gabler with the Duluth News Tribune. He has completed a podcast on the 50th anniversary of the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald. 5 episodes, correct? Have they all been released, or kind of give us a synopsis of each episode?
Totally. Yeah, we have 5 episodes. 4 have been released now. The 5th will come out on Monday, which is the, as you say, you don't want to use the word anniversary.
Right.
Is the day marking 50 years since the ship was lost. So, the 4 episodes are out now. The first one just sort of gives you a 101 on what the Edmund Fitzgerald was as a ship, what job it did, distinctive things about its history, like its DJ captain, Peter Poulter, who would play music as he, came through the Sioux Locks. Then episode 2 sort of sets the scene for the ship's final run, what the conditions were, what the crew members were like. What did they do on their last night in port as the ship was loading up in Superior, Wisconsin? They went to a local bar, and we think about the songs they listened to and all of this. Then episode 3 is the episode that really looks very specifically at November 9th and 10th, and the Fitzgerald was out on the water. So listeners can understand as much as it's possible to understand about what exactly happened that night. Then episode 4 was about the immediate aftermath as people started to realize, oh, wow, this ship is gone, how the news broke, how the families got word in 1975, long before text messages or email or what have you. And then about the search, initially the search hoping there were survivors. Then once it became clear there sadly were not, then the search for the wreckage and the search for answers, which is ongoing.
On Monday, the anniversary, I know there's a number of remembrances, events. Split Rock Lighthouse has it every year. Are you planning on attending one of those? And what are kind of going to be your thoughts on that day?
Yeah, I'll be up at Split Rock Lighthouse. We'll be covering for the News Tribune. That's a huge ceremony. This is the first year that it has sold out in advance, where they've had to say, we've taken a couple thousand advance reservations and we're not going to be able to accommodate any more people. So that shows just how intense the interest in this story is specifically this year. So I'll be going up and joining that observance. And, hard to say what my thoughts will be, but I think they will be not just about the Edmund Fitzgerald, but one of the things I've learned researching and reporting this podcast is that one reason that people here in the region appreciate the interest in the Edmund Fitzgerald is because once people sort of come in the door, so to speak, of learning more about Great Lakes shipping through the Edmund Fitzgerald. That's sort of the name they've heard of. They know the song. They want to learn more about that ship. But as they start to learn more about that ship, they learn more about Great Lakes shipping, and they start to learn about the many, many other lives that have been lost on the Great Lakes. The Daniel J. Morrell, which sank just 9 years earlier than the Fitzgerald, with comparable loss of life. And that's not a name that people usually know unless you're a maritime history buff. So I think people in the community up here on Lake Superior appreciate that when people think about the Edmund Fitzgerald, that's an opportunity for them to learn more about the entire history of this community and the entire history of Great Lakes shipping. So I think I'll be thinking about the Edmund Fitzgerald, but also about the many other ships that are not as famous.
And that's such a great point. And you learn about more about Minnesota history and our iron mines and how we supply the taconite and the iron ore for the steel industry and the cars that are manufactured and how critical the Great Lakes waterway is to that history. It's a great jumping point, or as you refer to it, as the open door. Great stuff, Jay. The podcast, I've got about 3 in so far. It's fascinating, and I look forward to the final episode, and thanks so much for your time today. Appreciate it. Great work.
Thanks for having me.
Jay Gabler from the Duluth News Tribune, 149 on WCCO. 153, that is your Lindus Construction Time Check. Time to refresh your curb appeal with beautiful new siding, 50% off installation labor through November 30th. Do you have something, either a sporting event or a historical thing, that you are way too knowledgeable about, that you like, is your white whale, you're like obsessed with it, and you can bend somebody's ear like, hey, if you got an hour and a half, I can tell you everything you need to know about this. Is there one thing for you?
There's really not. Oh, maybe I just don't have an obsessive personality. Because this is obviously
yours. The Edmund Fitzgerald is mine. Right. And it started with the song. And then my mom got me a book about it. Probably when I was 18. And I read that book. And I've read probably 6 books on it. And fascinated by it. Seen various documentaries on it. And I will consume anything about it. And I know the theories. I, in my mind, have my own theory, which has changed probably 3 or 4 times as to what happened to the ship. And I've always had a fascination with ships and sailing and being on the water. But it's this story has captivated me. And also because it's so accessible. You can go up, drive 2 hours, and you can see Lake Superior.
Yeah. And it's something that feels like it was a long time ago.
Yes.
But, 50 years
also,
on Monday.
And that's it's also... I'm 50 years old, so it happened, when I was like 6 months old. So that's why I'm fat. And I could talk to Jay about it. I had the fortune to talk to John Bacon, who wrote that book. It's a great book, by the way, called The Gales of Remember. It was just released. If you're interested in the story, get that book and read it. Adam, what is the name of the podcast you were just talking about? Again, Jay Gabler, The Edmund Fitzgerald, 50 Years Below.
Five episodes, four available. The fifth coming on Monday.
Yep. So it is very, very well done. If you like podcasts, it's a good one. Somebody asked, were any bodies ever recovered? No. This happened so suddenly that there was no time to call for a mayday, to put any lifeboats out. Probably if those guys got in the lifeboat, it wouldn't
have been. They're safer on the big boat.
I was going to say, because it was a monster storm, and you know about the water temperature. But it's so sudden that everybody was right where they were in the ship, and that's why nobody was ever recovered from it. But, yeah, it's just fascinating. And I was just thinking, I have Monday off, be up deer hunting, and honestly, I feel like I just want to drive, because we hunt in near Hinckley, drive another hour up the 35 and go be along the shores of Lake Superior.
I'll just do it. You're not going to get a deer anyway. If past history is any indication, much more fun up
Absolutely.
On the North Shore.
How come the ship is in such good condition, and how is it that bodies are still intact during the last exploration? Somebody asked. There was somebody did a private dive, I believe in 1995, where they saw what they believed to be the remains of a crew member outside of the ship right down by the bow. And that's really the only time that anybody's ever witnessed a victim of the shipwreck. The reason it's because it's fresh water.
Yeah.
And it's deep enough that it's not impacted by the ice that forms on the lake. But that, yeah, the reason the shipwreck is still in such great shape is because of the ice cold, fresh water of Lake Superior.
And currents aren't really an issue, obviously,
yep.
down there. So
not as much bacteria as you get in, obviously, salt water. So good stuff. And my thanks to Jay for joining us. Hopefully we'll have Major Garrett. We'll still keep our fingers crossed that we were supposed to have him at 12:35. Lots to talk to him about, including Nancy Pelosi hanging it up, calling it a career, her impact, and also the Supreme Court. What can we glean from the justices' questions of the administration's lawyers on Trump tariffs? Lots to talk to about with Major Garrett. We'll find out next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.